Hey everyone, welcome back to Raising the Remnant. I am Whitney Stadman and I am so glad you're with me. This is actually my 10th episode and I was just asking the Lord, I haven't recorded in a while. I actually felt like he gave me the first 9 episodes and here I am, recording number 10. And we honestly were in the midst of a move and so I don't even think I've been back here in the podcast studio for a while, a few weeks at least. And I felt like he gave me something really specific to share tonight. I don't always share these kinds of things. I have been a dreamer most of my life. I've always been able to interpret my dreams with the Holy Spirit for the most part. And I really have always felt like he gave me direction in my dreams. And a lot of that has been intercession assignments, right? People that I'm called to pray for or situations or people groups. But lately they've changed to being more corporate in nature, which is not a way that the Lord has moved me in the past. And so I'm going to share a dream tonight that I really believe is to be shared with you. And I pray that you would share it with others as the Lord leads and as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Because I believe that this dream is a now word for parents, for the generation, the young generation that is coming up. And I believe that this generation is a generation, and when I say this generation, you know, I'm thinking about my kids, but I'm thinking about the Gen Zers, you know, I'm thinking about the Gen Y, you know, I'm thinking about the Alphas, you know, I'm thinking through ages in my mind, and the ages I can see are anywhere from like, I don't know, 18, 20, all the way down to, you know, babies, 2 and 3 year olds, you know, 18 months. And that's what I see when I'm talking about a remnant, when I'm talking about children, is just this young generation who is really up and coming and really hasn't even fully hit the center stage yet. I've been thinking as I've been asking the Lord how to share about this, about who David was. And I'm going to come back to that once I read the dream, because I believe that that's where God wants me to end this podcast today. And so here it goes. March 9th of 2024, I woke up out of this dream, and I woke up out of this dream actually like speaking words, like prophesying things, saying things, declaring things, so much so that my husband actually heard me, which I thought was crazy. He's like, "What were you doing this morning?" And I wrote down what I was saying because it didn't feel like, you know, things I would normally say. I just woke up with all these words that just needed to be written down. And so I actually woke up and wrote them down. And so here's the dream. There were maybe like 15 to 20 people in like an upstairs bungalow. And I recognized my husband, my 2 sons, and one of my very best friends, a woman that is definitely a covenant friend for me. We've been friends for almost 22 years. I met her when I was 16 and we've been friends ever since. And there were other people there kind of that I recognized and some that I didn't. Some people were totally believers, totally knew Jesus, and some of them didn't. It was definitely a mixed company group. So just kind of represented, I think, a mixture of people, not necessarily the church and not. And then there were some YouTube influencers there and they were doing some videos and it was fun and just an interesting atmosphere. So I definitely feel like when I have dreams with many people groups represented, it feels more corporate and less about just me. And so that's one of the ways that I feel like the Lord's like, this is more corporate, because all these people, you know, there's some that are close to me, they're family, you know, but then there's other people that like, you know, come from all different parts of society. And in the dream, my 9-year-old comes up to me and says, "Mom, I have something to say." And he says, I need to prophesy. And you know, that's a kind of interesting word, because people are always like, well, you know, there's this, that has an interesting connotation. But to me, when someone says I have something to prophesy, it is something to declare that they feel like the Lord has given them that must be released, because our words bring life. Right? The power of life and death is in the tongue. And so I feel like when it's like something they must speak. It's like the Lord is giving them something to release that brings his power and glory, because we must be obedient to speak what he wants us to say. And so he comes up and he says, I need to prophesy. And he had names of people written on a piece of paper. And next to that was like the name and then like dash and then like words that he felt like the Lord was showing him or giving him for those people. And I remember, you know, the mom in me was like, oh, I don't know, like, is this a good time for this, right? Like, oh, you know, I don't know that that's what we're doing here, you know? And I feel like that really signified how it is often in our gatherings, right? Kind of where we are today, right? Like, I don't know if this is a good time for that kid to just show up and like, you know, interrupt everything else that's going on. But he was adamant. And so I turn around to my friend and she just kind of looks at me, and we're like looking at each other. She's like, let's do it, you know? And so we gather everybody up and we cut the music and we stop the YouTube channel filming. And we kind of just said, hey guys, like, this is a thing, like, he has something to say, right? And then I woke up from the dream, like I was saying these words. And so I just wrote them down. And I felt like God is saying over 2024, over this moment in the world, this is the moment. The moment where the earth will shake and the market will recede with terrifying accuracy. This is the time when all else will fail without me, except me. I will not leave you or forsake you, but you will know that I am God and none other. When all else fails, I do not. Remember that. Let them prophesy. For I have given the children of this hour something special to carry. I am pouring out my spirit upon them, for they are clean vessels, and the things they have to share from my kingdom will rock even the most saintly minister. You cannot contain this move of my spirit. Anyone who stands in my way will get burned or be burned. For my Holy Spirit burns away iniquity, burns up infirmity, and cannot be snuffed out by human hands. I am that I am. Vengeance will be mine, says the Lord. My justice will fall like the noonday sun. And the iniquity of the forefathers will be revisited upon the sons to the third and the fourth generations. You guys, you got to know something. Like, that's not easy for me to release, because I'm not like doom and gloom. I really truly believe that we are in the midst of one of the greatest revivals, the greatest outpouring of God's power and his magnitude that is literally going to shock even those of us who have walked with him for a long time. Like, I believe that, but I also know that he is a just God. And we are in the midst of a movement where his justice is every bit as important as his grace. And I think for far too long, we have tried to teeter on one side or the other, and that's just simply not who he is. But if we are going to walk into the vengeance that I believe he does have, the things that he is going to allow to happen in our midst that are, I believe, are going to be hard, and to have a remnant of his people and of our families and of our children who can withstand that with power and authority, then we have got to start examining where our children fit in our ministries, our homes, our jobs, our lives, our callings, our churches. I don't care where we're at. I believe that we have siloed our children for far too long. We have, you know, Bible studies in our home and we get a babysitter for our kids. And I'm not saying that it's easy, okay? I'm not. We've led home churches for a while, my husband and I. But, and it's not easy, right? The kids have to learn. Like if they're younger children, older children, like it's a practice for them, right? They're not used to that, right? Most of the time we go to a church, we go to a church building. My children go to children's church, you know, that's where they go. But when we come together and we allow them space into the things that we are doing, just like that dream, it is probably initially going to be a bit uncomfortable. If we are going to give our children the space that just like what he said in this word, that there is something very special, he's pouring out his spirit upon them. If we are going to access fully what he is giving our young people, our children, our young men and women in this hour, then we are going to have to be okay with being uncomfortable and maybe having some interruptions, just like in that dream, right? Like, it's now a good time. I don't know, right? We're going to have to get comfortable letting them in the Holy Spirit come in and kind of do a new thing in our midst. And the truth of the matter is there are often divine and holy interruptions that we miss because our children do not have access, right? We don't want them interrupting, except that I can tell you that I have a son who is incredibly discerning. He's 7 years old. And sometimes, many times, when he is the most pleasant kid. He's my strong-willed kid. He's a lot of fun. He is fun to take places. He's fun to do things with. And he's so like fun to be around. But there are times that he starts to get like antsy and just kind of just interrupts our home gatherings and or even, you know, or the supermarket, doesn't matter. Like he starts to get like that. And instead of me saying to him, what is going on in your spirit right now? What is happening right this second? I get down on his level. Like what is happening right now that maybe he is aware of that maybe that I'm not? What if the Lord's given him a word and it's coming out as kind of like holy irritation? You know, like if we're adults in the room, like hopefully we've had times where like, man, that just irritated me. Like I just don't feel Jesus there, whatever. And it's like, we don't give them space to interrupt our shopping trips. To interrupt our, and I'm not saying they have to be distracting, right? Like we have to parent that part. Like, why are we acting like this, right? But I'm going to tell you probably 60% of the time that kid has some kind of discernment that is going on that literally I'm like, man, if I had not made space for that, he would have continued to feel that holy divine irritation by himself. And not knowing what to do with it. And I would have missed out on the revelation that God was giving him through the Holy Spirit that lives within him. And I'm going to tell you that that's where I feel God is wanting us to go. Is that if we're going to step into the new thing as a spotless bride, as a perfect body, maybe there are parts of our body, our young men and women, our children, that we have siloed separately for far too long. And therefore, we have not accessed who they are as Davids in their generation. How many young people have gotten left behind and don't realize they ever are a David because they are not given access to speak into our gatherings, our adult quote unquote gatherings, right? And I'm not saying like it, this message is not for you if you're going to pick this apart and be like, well, there's a times and a places. Like obviously there's times and places that there's appropriate to plug them in, right? But there's also times and places that we think it's not appropriate for them to be plugged in, and the Holy Spirit Spirit sitting there going, yeah, but I gave him a word for that person and you're not allowing him access, and that's on you. Right? We went to church. We went to a church gathering not that long ago, really felt led to go. There was a conference at this church, and we just prayed as a family, and we're like, I think we're supposed to be there. And so we all went. And as soon as we walk in, one of my sons gets a word for this kid in front of him. And the whole time he's looking at me, and he can't wait to give this kid this word. And then at the end of the conference, at the end of the day, at the end of the time, they did an altar call, right? Like, if you need prayer, come up to the front. And I think that's great. I think that there is something special about going up to the front and getting prayer and being bold and receiving what you need to receive, right? But his mom like grabs his hand and was like, come on, we're going to go get you prayer. And my son is sitting in his seat and he's just like crestfallen. And he was like, Mom, what if he was going to the front to get prayer, but the person who had the prayer for him was me? What? So my son is sitting there feeling this place of like, have we gotten so good at our routine? And even like in the dream, right? Have we gotten so good at like doing how we do gatherings that we didn't even stop to ask the Lord if there was something my child had to bring, right? Like, what would have happened in that moment? Like, if that mom would have been like, okay, Lord, I know that I want prayer for my son. He has a need. Like, I brought him here because I'm believing for something for you. What would have happened if she would have sat in her seat for 5 extra minutes until my son could have tapped her on the shoulder or tapped the boy on the shoulder, you know, and said, I have a word for you? Because I asked my son about it later. I said, well, why didn't you deliver it earlier? And he said, the Holy Spirit told me not to. He told me to wait until the end. I think that we have gotten so good at doing our gatherings and doing our things in a certain way that we didn't even stop to ask, hey, we're not looking for that child sitting behind our kids, like that you know, 15-year-old sitting behind our kids who might have a word for my son, right? I'm not turning around to look at that 15-year-old and be like, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit long enough to be like, hey, I think that 15-year-old over there has something for you. Or that I would know and be able to say, hey, let's go talk to this kid because the Lord is telling me he has something to give to you. Right? Like, or when was the last time you turned around in church and was like, you know, expecting that God is going to move in the young people that are sitting in that service so much so that those kids might have something to bring to me or to you and vice versa. Right? And how are we coming alongside our kids to make them believe that if they are in Christ Jesus, then they have something to give no matter where they are? Right? You have something to bring that's unique to you and only you can bring it. And see, when I think of David, I think David knew that. He was a shepherd, right? He was out in the, you know, wilderness. It was just him and Jesus. And like, there was just something about this kid that was just different, right? And he goes up and he tells everybody he's going to fight Goliath. And I love what they say, because of course they're like, you can't do that. You're only young, right? People, scholars believe he was anywhere from like 13 to like 16 years old, right? Like very young in our definitions of our culture, right? But David confidently looks at them and declares, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. 1 Samuel 17:37. He knew the Lord. And he knew that if the Lord was with him, nobody could stand against him. And I believe that was very specific to David and even David's age, right? The fact that he was young, the fact that he was like, well, I've seen it, you know, I've seen God do this. I'm doing it again, right? Like we always say that like young people feel like they're invincible. And I'm just not convinced that that's not like God's superpower in it. You know, they haven't had all the things, you know, and maybe some of them have gone through, I'm not saying they haven't gone through hard things. I'm just saying there's a part of being young that is like so special, right? All of us who are older are like, man, you know, we say things like youth is wasted on the young, you know what I mean? And I'm not coming into agreement with that. I'm just saying like, there is something special about being young, no matter what, you know? Even if you've gone through really, really, really hard times, like there's something special about many years of life being before you. And I love that when David faces Goliath, Goliath actually makes fun of him for his age. You're so young. You think you defeat me, right? He curses him. He threatens him. And David looks at him with confidence and he says, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." And what if that phrase right there was the only permission that our children, our young men and women, or even us as parents have, our permission slip to do it a new way and ask the Holy Spirit for a new awareness of what he is placing in the remnant of our children that looks like David did, with a faith that says, "I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." And that was the only endorsement, permission, and requirement he needed to know that he could go anywhere the Lord was calling him to go. Even if it's a church service and your son looks at you and says, "I have someone to pray for." Or even if you bend down and you say to that five-year-old, "Is there anybody that's on your heart in this room today?" Right? Or you take them with you because you have somebody on your heart. You're going to go pray with them and you bring them with them and say, you know, ahead of time, do you have something to say? You know, do you feel like the Holy Spirit's giving you any kind of direction or encouragement or prayer for this person, right? Start to involve them into your places where in the past we may not have included them. Because I truly believe that this is generations, again, those age groups, right? 18 to 20, all the way down into, you know, really, really young, 18 months. Like, this is a generation of Davids who are meant to slay the giants, right? It wasn't the army of Israel that was going to slay that giant, okay? It may not be you or me, but our kids may be that to their generation. They may be a David to their generation. And David knew he had that permission. And how much cooler and amazing and encouraging and extraordinary would it be if the God's people looked like a multi-generational remnant that was able to move in his power with the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, as our permission slip to interrupt our carefully organized meetings and just ask God, how, given this word, that something he has given the children of this hour, something special to carry, how can we come into alignment with that and give them access? How can we make room for their interruptions just as Jesus did? Suffer the little children to come unto me, for the kingdom of God is given to such as these. We are in the midst of a great movement, and I believe that corporately, our young people must be part of that, or the Goliaths of our generation will never be defeated. Thanks for joining me.